I shared with you last fall. In the bookstore, there is a list of recommended books, books that I recommend. When individuals in this body express a desire to be used of God in ministry, I share with them a number of books that you need to read. But every believer should read Identification multiple times. I have multiple copies of Identification. And in fact, my first Identification is very well worn, and it's marked up, and you can't even find this anymore except online, because it's been brought out with a different cover, and now it looks like this. But since I'm old, I have a lot of old books. Some of them I've had to lay on the shelf because I had used them so much that they, every time I would pick them up, fell apart and became loose leaf. But I don't get rid of it when I get a new copy of it, because I want all those notes. Because every time I read through a book, God shows me something I missed the last time. It's that way with the Word of God even more. When I have someone said, well, I read the Bible once, I know they're an idiot. Because no wise person ever reads the Bible once. Because it becomes bigger every time you read it. And it doesn't matter how many times you read it, your ability to see new things is always piqued each time you go through it. And that's true whether you're reading the entire Bible or just reading a favorite passage from the New Testament. There are passages that God has brought me to dozens of times, and each time He would show me something new in that passage. And I have people that say, man, I'd like to have the life you have. You can. God's no respecter of persons. You can walk in a realm where your God supplies all your needs. You can walk in a realm where sickness and disease, death itself, can't keep you down. You can walk in a realm where you can wake up every day knowing the faithfulness of God is greater than anything you'll face that day. Now, we're in chapter 4 today, and I had planned to read chapter 4. It's the last page in your notes. I gave it to you. If you've already gotten the book, praise God. If you haven't, get the book. Whether you buy it from the bookstore, whether you go to Amazon and order a copy of it, or whether you simply Google Identification and find that it is online and you can download it and print it out. I had Michelle do that for me, and I have it in a 8.5 by 11 because it's easier to intersperse it with my notes then. And I didn't print it double-sided. I have it printed just on one side of the sheet. That way, when I turn the sheet over, it becomes notepaper for the next page. But this is a life-changing book. Identification and the Authority of the Believer are two books that every born-again child of God should have read multiple times and have close by. I've got something written on the board today, because as I was going over my notes again this morning, the Lord began to speak to me. Actually, He began to speak to me before I got to my notes, because I'd read chapter 4 just before I went to sleep. In fact, I read the first four chapters of Identification again last night just before I went to sleep, because I like the Word to minister to me while I'm sleeping. Now, some people, and I have never understood this, will watch a horror movie before they go to sleep. Some people will get into a fight with their loved ones or children just before going to bed. Whatever you go to bed with will be with you all night. That's why go to bed with a song of praise to God. You're about to go to bed. I love to tell the story. Sing a song of God's goodness. Or read a passage from the New Testament. Pastor, why can't I just read from the Bible? Because your life is in the New Testament, not the Old. The Old Testament was superseded because you became a new creation. I don't want to live under what they had to live under. So I read the New Testament. Now, on occasions, I read the Old Testament, and I've read the Old Testament many, many times, but that's not where my life is. My life is in the New Testament. But I read the first four chapters before going to sleep because I wanted the Lord to minister to me, and when I woke up this morning, I woke up with God talking to me about identification, but not out of the book. He began to speak to me on another plane. Why? Because God will always take you beyond what you know into what He wants to reveal to you. And He said to me, you've misunderstood some phrases from the New Covenant. When I said this present age, I was referring to what was going on with the world system in charge. And when I referred to the age to come, I was referring to what happens when the kingdom of God comes into manifestation in the earth. And He said, you've seen it as heaven, and it is not heaven. God said, the devil has been trespassing on my blood-bought earth too long, and it's time for the church to rise up and take it back. And the Lord said this to me, you don't yet understand the revival that's coming, but the revival that's coming on the earth right now is a revival unlike any the earth has ever seen. Because it will not be a reviving of what was. It will be a revival of what was to be. One more time. It will not be a revival of what has been. It will be a reviving of what is to be. God is going to breathe life into the age to come, and it will come alive in the earth because believers are rising up to pray this. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth just like it is in heaven. And God, who answers prayer, is allowing us to live in a season where God will manifest himself in the earth in levels the world has not seen since the garden. I fully expect before I die to see God walking in the earth, not just in us, but in the earth. Because in the age that was, he walked the earth. If in the age that was, when his will was perfectly done, he walked the earth, then in the age that is to come, the kingdom age, well, Pastor Jim, we've been in the kingdom age since Jesus was resurrected from the dead. No. We've been in the ante-room of the kingdom age because when the kingdom age comes, the king will rule and reign. And right now, the king is ruling and reigning in some hearts, in some instances, and in some occasions. But when the king is fully come, he'll rule in everything. And the age that is to come, just like this present age replaced the age that was, and sin and death and destruction entered the earth, when this present age is gone, the age that is to come will replace it, and we will return to a place where angels will become commonplace, where God's presence will become commonplace, and where there will be people sharing and telling, God came down and walked. I saw him and others saw him, and he talked. Why? Apparently, it was his will before this present age interrupted his will. Now, has it ever come to your mind to think about the war of the ages as it's going on? There's the age that was where God's will was done, Gail. And then because man got into disobedience and departed from God said, understand this, you always get in trouble when you depart from God said. And Adam committed treason by departing from what God said and accepting what the devil said. Roger touched on it a minute ago. The devil comes by and says, you're sick. Now I can accept his words, or I can accept the words of God. We sing the song, whose report will you believe? But we don't live it. But we're going to start living it. Because when a report comes to me and says, I'm broke, I go, no. My God supplies all of my need. When a report comes to me and says, you're dying, I say, no. It is written, with his stripes I was made whole. Whole don't include broke. But they say, well, your heart is broke. Your thyroid is broke. Your kidneys are broke. Your liver's broke. Your lungs are broke. No. With his stripes I was healed. I am not going to make the mistake Adam made and cling to the words of someone other than God. But pastor, it's my doctor, it's my lawyer, it's the judge. I don't care who it is. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true is a recipe for life. When God says to Nancy, let every man be a liar, let God be true, it says, let the judge, the lawyer, the banker, the doctor, the nurse, the emergency technician, the EMS, whoever it is, let them be a liar in your heart. No, you said something contrary to what God said, therefore I judge your words a lie and God's words true. Yes. You see, you can spend the rest of your life saved and broke. I don't like being broke, and I have people say, well, you talk about money too much. You show me a human being that don't talk about money every day, and I'll show you a corpse. Money is a part of your life. Because money is the currency of the world system, this present age. But faith is the currency of the age that is to come. Every time you speak in faith, you bring that age alive. No, I will not die with this. I'll live and be free. No, I will not be broke because my God supplies all of my need. Well, pastor, how many times do I have to say it? You ain't got enough sense to say it the first time. You see, when you ask, what does it cost me, you're not worthy of having it. You see, confession came out in the 70s, and Ethel, so many people misunderstood it, and they thought, if I'll say with the stripes I was healed enough times, then I'll get over this sickness. No, you say with the stripes I was healed until you believe that more than you believe the symptoms. You see, confession does not move God. And there were a lot of idiots running around the country. You say this enough and God will come on the scene. That guy is a fool. God is always on the scene. You say this enough and you will see him present in your situation. You see, confession opens my eyes, not God's. But some people thought if they said it enough, God would see what their need was. And he had already told us, it doesn't happen because of your much saying. Don't be like the religious hypocrites and think that because of your much saying, it's not your much saying, it's your much change. And so when we couldn't afford gas to get to church, couldn't afford groceries to put on the table, God taught me to begin saying every time I prayed, Father, I thank you that you do exceeding abundant above and beyond all that I can ask or comprehend. And my family looked at me like, have you seen the table? Have you seen the gas tank? Have you seen the stack of bills? But I began to decree, my God supplies all of my needs according to the living standard of heaven. My God does exceeding abundant above and beyond. And I watched God bring us out of it. And since that day that I learned that, I continue to say, my God supplies all my needs. And people go, well, when? When is not my department. Believe and receive. I can't look at any word other than my God supplies all of my need. Because when will take me away from God? How will take me away from God? Who will take me away from God? I have to remain constant with one thing. My God supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. My God does exceeding abundant above and beyond all that I can ask or comprehend. And church, I have seen God do with nothing what I couldn't do with everything. And so there is the war of the ages that is going on. And I want you today to make the decision which age you want to live in. This present age of the world system, or the age that is to come. Because the two ages are worlds. The world of darkness or the world of light. Which world are you identifying with? Well, Pastor, you know, it's hard to get ahead in today's society. Well, I choose not to draw from today's society. My God supplies. So I am coming into an age where there's no lack mentally, spiritually, physically, financially. And what you see this moment is passing. The two ages or the two worlds are two kingdoms, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. Choose or lose. I must choose to live in the age to come, or by default, I get stuck in this present age. Now, the age that is to come will surpass the age that was before Adam allowed doubt and unbelief to rob him of what belonged to him. It's the right to choose. There's a lot of discussion today about the right to choose. And I get tired of Christians who won't stand up. They go, no, I don't believe in the right to choose. I believe in right to life. No, don't go there, please. When someone says, I have the right to choose, say, well, there's only one choice. The baby is alive and your only choice is to kill it. Because if you don't choose, nature will take its course. And did you notice they've changed the terminology? It's not called terminate the pregnancy anymore. Because some people woke up, wait, if I have to terminate it, I am not pro-life. I'm pro-God. Pro-life doesn't say it well. Pro-life seems like that's a choice I made. I'm pro-life. No, I'm pro-God because God ordained life and God had a system with what creates life. And if you're going to work the system that he created, don't violate him in it. Well, Pastor, what if someone has had an abortion? It's no different than somebody telling a lie. You see, God said all liars and murderers will have their part in the lake of fire. What's the difference between a liar and a murderer and a person who is not God? If God be for you, what can be against you? Yes, good people have made a mistake. And they've gotten abortions. There is no robe of dishonor or disgrace for a person who's had an abortion. Because in God's eyes, it's no different than you telling a lie. Because he said all liars and murderers. It's religious idiots who go, well, lying is down here, but murder is up here. God said there's no difference. I want you to understand, there are a lot of good people who have made a mistake. And the pregnancy was, the fact that they were pregnant isn't the first mistake. The fact that they got that way by somebody who wasn't worthy of what was going on in their body, that was the first mistake. Make sure somebody's in your heart before they're in your drawers. Don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. You know once you get out of here, you're going to tell somebody that. Don't think ugly about me and then repeat me and take credit for it. Church, If a woman has had an abortion, blame the guy who wouldn't be responsible for the seed he planted as much as you blame her for not being able to deal with what happened. And understand this, in God's eyes, forgiving her of that is no different than forgiving you of the lie you told. Because God said all liars and murderers, abortion is murder, but it's not an unpardonable sin. The church has got to stop putting up these walls. Sin is sin. Well, I played bridge and they played poker. Son, I've played bridge on three-day tournaments at a penny a point, and there was more money on the table than most poker games. Well, actually, that guy died, but I remember how he lived. We want to classify things. Sin is sin. And identification is identification. Because you can't identify Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal. You can only identify one way. You identify with the Lord of life, the Yeshua HaMashiach of God. He has given him a name that's above every name. I have somebody that writes me all the time, and they want me to be involved in the Pray in Jesus' Name movement. Hun, I got out of kindergarten a long time ago. I'm not about to be involved in a Pray in Jesus' Name movement. Well, it's the name that's above every name. No, it's not even a name God used. God said, you shall call his name Yeshua, Redeemer, for he shall redeem his people from their sins. Somebody translating made up the name Jesus. And people go, it's a name that's above every name. Pray in Jesus' name. Praying in Jesus' name has nothing to do with the saying a name like Bob, God, or anything else. To pray in Jesus' name means to pray in line with his will. Jesus, don't make me testify in church tonight in Jesus' name. You can't pray your will and just say in Jesus' name and that makes it in Jesus' name. To pray in his name means to pray the way he would pray in that situation. When you are authorized to do something, every day you hear stories of policemen who got their badge taken away, were put in jail or awaiting death row because they didn't enforce the law, they enforced their authority. And when they go outside of the law, then the law comes down on them because they weren't authorized to practice their will. They were authorized to uphold the law. So to pray in his name is to pray things that align with his word. And I've said this to you, and please listen to me. There are people in church who have been praying for things for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And they're still praying for those things because they're too stupid to come in out of the rain. If I tried a recipe for making a cake, and I had failed 30 years in a row, I would soon discover that I don't know how to bake a cake. But I don't like baking soda, so I never put it in. That's why you get pancakes instead of cakes. Because you're leaving out the ingredient that makes it. If you're not praying God's word, you're not praying. It's foolish to keep praying prayers that are your will and not God's. Well, Pastor Jim, how do I know if God wants me to have this? Now you're beginning to think. There are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life and godliness. What a sad thing to go to church your whole life and never identify with the one ingredient that makes you whole. He became you so you could become Him. And so as we look at our notes today, I want you to get a hold of what identification is. The sinless Son of God came to earth and took on our identity. And we read phrases that doesn't make sense to us. And it says, when Adam sinned, death came upon all men. For in that Adam sinned, all men sinned. And we go, I don't understand that. He was telling us a mystery that Satan didn't understand. Because when the Son of God became the Son of Man, He inherited Adam's sin. Not by true inheritance, but by identification. Because He never was a human. He appeared in the form of a man. And the Bible said, and He submitted to being a man. That's like when you're a millionaire and you show up at a place and you're dressed like a laborer and they identify you as one of the laborers and you go along with it because you're in solidarity with your friends. But the truth is, you ain't one of them. Our Lord put on the clothes of man, but He never was one. Now the Bible says for us as believers to be clothed with Christ. Why? Because the great identification is He became clothed with us, stood in our line, took our inheritance, which was death. The wages of sin is death. He took our inheritance and He put on an earth suit so we could put on a God suit. So that when you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you say it understanding, He took my place in line, received my sickness, my disease, my sin, my grief, my sorrow, my poverty. He received everything that came down from the age that was into the present age as the paycheck of Adam's transgression. And Adam's sin passed to all men. So He had to come and stand in our place in line, take our judgment. And this morning as the Lord was talking to me, He said, now do you understand Hebrews 9:27? I went, what? It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. And I said, okay, I'm listening. Since you're pointing out what I don't know, make it plain so I can understand it. And He said, it was appointed unto men once to die, and after that they would be judged. But He took your place in both lines. Roger, I'd read Hebrews so many times that it had never dawned on me. He took my place in both lines. It is appointed unto men once to die. He died. And after that, the judgment. But He took the judgment, and in His resurrection, God said this to me. He said, in resurrection, He was judged free of the sin He died under. I said, Daddy, I didn't read that chapter in identification. He said, you're not to quote the book. You're to take the revelation from the book and build on it. And so He said, get this, He became men, so men inherited, it's appointed on men once to die. He inherited that. by standing in your place. And after death, the judgment. But his judgment was in. Does he stay in torment or is he resurrected? And when he was resurrected, he fulfilled both your sentence to die and your sentence to judgment. And you are now judged righteous with his righteousness. You're judged alive with his life. You're seated together with him. And then sometimes God says things in ways that just lets me know he understands how dumb I am. And I wanted to laugh. Bob, sometimes you want to laugh, but you know God is talking to you. I don't like lightning. And I wanted to laugh. But the Lord said this to me. Nancy, he said, there's no ejector button on the seat. And I went, wait. That must have been me. Because we was talking about freedom from judgment. And he said, that's exactly what I'm talking to you about. When you're seated together with him, there is no ejector button.
That's it. You can be lost for all. Amen.
If you're seated with him, God would have to remove him.
Yes, sir.
To remove you.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's right.
Steve to the rescue. You know, once in a while you need to hug Steve's neck. He works harder than you do. The Lord said, there's no ejector button on the seat. And one of the devil's biggest lies to defeat Christians is to tell you, you're not worthy to sit there. But he says, remember, it wasn't your worthiness that got you the seat. It was his. And since you couldn't get you the seat, then nobody but me can remove you from the seat. And there's no ejector button on the seat. So if you're seated with him, it's an eternal thing. You will have to get up and walk away to leave the position you have been given. Pastor, are we going to get around to these notes today? I doubt it. I seriously do. I mean, we're halfway through the message and I haven't got to the title yet. But these are good. The notes are good. Read them. Let them take root in you. But today, what God is speaking in my heart and what God is speaking to me about identification is bigger than the notes. So read the notes, please do. I mean, I spent a lot of time putting this together for your edification to help you understand what chapter 4 was saying. But let's bring it down to a thumbnail, because some of you have already been sitting there thinking about where you're going for Father's Day lunch. So cut that out. I'm trying to save your eternal destiny. Understand this. When our Lord and Redeemer came and took our place in line, the fact that he was successful over death, hell, and the grave means he also took our judgment. Because it was appointed a man once to die. Because he died, we don't have to. Because he was judged righteous, we were judged righteous. So when we come to Jehovah, Lord of hosts, and we receive the gift of his son, Yeshua, we're receiving a blank slate. It'll wash as white as snow. We receive a blank slate. And from that day forward, we can write on it his will for our life, Or we can continue in the mistakes that got us in need of a Savior. So don't let religious idiots lie to you. Derek, you make one mistake and you're going to stand in judgment for that. I was accused with him. I was tried with him. I was judged with him. I was crucified with him. I was buried with him. I went through hell's torment with him, and I was resurrected with him, and I was seated with him to escape the judgment that is appointed. Because he kept both my appointments. He kept my death appointment, and he kept my judgment appointment, because it is appointed of the man once to die, it is appointed of the man once to be judged, and he did both for me. So I have been born again to escape the wrath to come. And while much of the church is sitting around terrified that they're not good enough, they're not clean enough, that they haven't prayed enough, they haven't studied enough, and someday they're going to stand before God and he's just going to burn the hell out of them. No, I was judged in him. Because if I wasn't, it wasn't a total sacrifice. But every day you make the decision, am I living in this present age with its rules and regulations and disastrous outcome, or am I choosing to live in the age to come? Because if I start living in the age to come now, I can bring the age to come faster. In the age to come, sickness has no place in me. So if I'm that eternal being, it has no place in me now. Poverty in the age to come will have no place. Sickness, disease, grief, sorrow, none of that has a place in the age to come. There will be no dying, there'll be no departing, there'll be no grief, no sorrow. And if I choose to leave this present age and move into the age that is to come, then I can live forgiven and never worry about judgment. I can live blessed and never worry about lack. I can live in health and never be concerned with sickness. Will those things knock? Yes. But because I fully identify with him, I say, that doesn't belong to me. It's paid for. Say this with me. It's paid for.
It's paid for.
What are you saying when you're saying it's paid for? Sickness is paid for. Sin is paid for. Guilt, sorrow, grief, despair, they're all paid for. And when I come to the full understanding that whether it was Apollos or Paul, whoever was writing Hebrews, they were writing to Jews who were still legally minded. Yes. He was saying, yes, it is appointed unto man once to die after that judgment. But then it goes right into, but Christ.
Right.
Why? Because our anointed one did for us what none of us could do for ourselves or for anyone else. And of late, you've perhaps been under the misconception, and I'm belaboring the point, that too many people get saved and not enough people get born again. Because people who get saved add it to their life. Yes, sir, I'm just sticking that little insurance policy right there in my pocket, and I'm going to heaven, and I don't have to go to hell now. I may live through hell now, but I don't have to go there eventually. No, no, no. A born-again person says, wait a minute, I've left the world system, and I have moved into the kingdom system. Over here, I'm forgiven. Over here, I'm healed. Over here, I'm blessed. Over here, I'm prospered. So I ask you today, what are you identifying with? Well, it's the flu season. Why would you want to identify with that? That's not your age. You know, people say, well, Pastor, that's hard to do. Let me tell you this. It doesn't matter what age you were born in, you still identify with that age. Well, I tell you, that there hippity-hop music stuff they got going today, that's not my kind of music. Why is it yours? Because I'm still living in an age where blues was king, where rock and roll was where it's at. But you see, people who were of a generation before that, well, I'm the big band era. I hope you haven't been any good and have a good day. like Buddy Dorsey and his brother. But that wasn't my music. My music was a different music. And so it doesn't matter how music has changed. You say, well, Pastor Jim, that's not true, like with country western. Country western, there was a time where country western was all acoustic. And if you had a drum, there was only one, and it was a snare. And you only had a brush. Because there wasn't no sticks beating on a drum. It was just a brush. Because this country. And today, much of country western has the same chords, riffs, and progressions that rock and roll had in my day. I'm using music because it's something you can identify with. There was an age you were in, and the age has changed, but you're still listening. Because if you were a 40s and 50s person, you got the big band over there. If you was a 60s person, you don't remember anything anyway, son. If you remember the 60s, you didn't live there. So if you can do that with your music, if you can do that with your wardrobe, you can watch a person walk by and you can identify by their wardrobe what they identify with. You can let a person do anything in their life that they do on a regular basis and they'll tell you what age or time frame they identify with. So we know we have the capacity to do it. Why not begin to identify with the age to come so it comes alive in you now, not in the future? I am the healed of the Lord. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I'm the anointed of God. I don't have to die because He did. I don't have to carry the weight of sin because He did. I don't have to be concerned about how my father sees me because he endured the shame of the father not even looking at. So now my father can look at me plain because he couldn't look at him when he was in my place. I want you to win the war of the ages and begin to identify with healed. Begin to identify with redeemed. Begin to identify with prospered. Begin to identify with all He obtained for you. Because when He stood in your place, He did it all for you. So now you can stand by the blood in His place. It's Father's Day, so let's embrace the gift our Father gave us. I am. The righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus, not by works which I have done, but by the blood of His Holy Son. Jehovah, Lord of hosts, You are my Father, and I choose to receive all that Your gift provided. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am the blessed of the Lord. I am the free of the Lord. I am a son of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, not only did he not get through with the notes today, he never got to the notes today. But it doesn't matter, church. A truth is coming alive in you because I decree it over you. The word you have heard is changing the reality you live in. The word you have heard is gripping you with expectation of the age that now is yours. The words you've heard this day has redeemed you from the curse of darkness and its lies that try to grip you and hold you in fear and doubt and worry and torment. You are the redeemed of the Lord. because you confess that Yeshua is Lord. But it's not something you confess once, Ethel. Daily I have to confess Yeshua is Lord over my finances. That's why I'll never be broke another day in my life. I was broke many days, Raymond, till I discovered that my confession rules me. I'll never be broke another day in my life. My God supplies all of my needs, but I've got to confess His Lordship when sickness tries to touch my body. And I can say, oh, I think I'm coming down with something. Or I can say, no, I'm coming up with something. He is Lord over my sickness because He paid the price for it. He is Lord over my lack because He paid the price for it. He is Lord over fear, and it will not rule me. He is Lord over hurt, and I will not be bound by it. People choose to be hurt. They choose to be sick. They choose to be whatever they are. I'm saying today, win the war of the ages and choose to live in the age to come now. Because the kingdom will become a reality on the earth. And you can be a pioneer of the kingdom, or it can overtake you unawares. And you wake up one day, shazam, what happened? What people around you have been believing for a long time. Patrick, I'm believing God for kingdom life now. I don't want pie in the sky in the sweet by and by alone. I'm a strong believer in Jesus could come at any moment, eat dessert first. Apple pie is a great appetizer. Two scoops of Bluebell and it's a meal. Start living in the age to come where I am fully the healed of the Lord. I am fully the redeemed of the Lord. I am fully the blessed of the Lord. Because I identify with what He did for me, I now have my identity in what He is on my behalf. He is risen over death, hell, and the grave. He is risen over guilt, sorrow, and unbelief. I don't have to do it. I only have to identify with it. Every one of you went through a stage of identity. I was alive in the 60s when guys went from crew cuts to beetle cuts, mops. Guys didn't have any idea why, but all of a sudden they had an urge to grow their hair out. Some of them went past the Beatles and right into the Grateful Dead and grew their hair down. But you see, they were identifying with something that they identified with. You listen to too many country western songs, and the next thing you know, you got boots in your closet. You got a Stetson on the back package tray of your car. And pretty soon, the car is gone. You got a pickup truck, and you're hanging your Stetson on your gun rack. Why? You begin to identify with it, and it affects... Come on, church. You begin to identify with it, and it affects your whole life. Do you know how many people in this nation got a guitar in their closet or in their garage? Because one day they just begin to identify with, you know, Eric Clapton, and they went out and got one and brought it home and went, this is too hard. Don't be an idiot. This is not too hard. You can live this life. You can do it. Identify with healed. Identify with redeemed. Identify with blessed. Identify with I'm already home. Did you understand what I just said? If I am seated together with Him, I am already home. And this life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who's got me seated at the right hand of God. And what I'm going through down here is just the motions. Because I identify with the fact I'm already seated. A pastor, when I die, I hope I'll be worthy to go to heaven. Oh, shut up, stupid. I'm already there. And all this time, you didn't know this was a figment of your imagination. Positionally, I identify with seated. Therefore, I can't be denied what has already been applied. I'm not worried about losing my salvation. I keep it alive every day by reminding myself, He's Lord over my mind. He's Lord over my spirit. He's Lord over my past. He's Lord over my future. He's Lord over my finances. He is Lord over my lunch, and that's where I'm going now. You are the blessed of the Lord. Go with God.